freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a friend.
Subscribe to receive every episode at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
We stink, man.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
No one!
Well, here we go with another Brock and Salk podcast. Separated, as Brock is in Seattle, in studio, and I find myself at Mariners spring training here in Peoria, Arizona, watching Harry Ford stretch in front of me, infield going on behind me, a little batting practice taking place in a few minutes, Brock, the whole deal. How we doing?
You miss me down there? Does it feel complete without me? And be
no,
honest, you can be totally transparent and honest. I got Kyle on my right.
Hey, what up, Ichiro? Yep. What's going on, Ichiro?
Howdy on my left. Like, I can hug them if you just want to rip the Band-Aid off. And
you
say,
want
no,
the truth?
I want the honest truth. I want the truth.
All right, the truth is I miss Kyle.
Thank you. Finally.
I miss having Kyle here. Kyle and I probably spent a lot more time at spring training together than you and I did.
That's true.
We would stay in the same house. We'd use the same car.
Yep.
You know, you were always commuting over to your in-laws' place, see Papa and Gigi, and going to church twice in a day because you once dropped a little curse word that you weren't supposed to.
Yep.
So, you know, Kyle and I have really spent more time here hitting up Culver's.
Yeah.
Going up.
I don't stay in Peoria. I can't do it. I got to be up in Scottsdale. I can't stay.
So, yeah, I mean, do I miss you here? Yeah. Uh-huh. But I would say I miss Kyle much more.
Okay.
And I'm talking about Kyle Brown, not Kyle Seager. I don't miss him at all.
Go figure.
Don't even miss him a little bit.
What?
And I'm not sure I'm the only one.
Kyle Seager, huh? How about that?
I don't know if I'm the only one, by the way. There might be some players who do. Mm. I'm not sure I'm the only one who doesn't miss Kyle Seager around here. Just kind of a gut feeling.
Well, I'm sure of this. And Howdy and Kyle and I were talking about you before we came on, because we could do that because we're all here. Yeah. Right. And I realized that it happens every year. It happened every year when I was there and Kyle was there. We all fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
Borderline lust while we're in Arizona. I mean, we all are like, oh, this is great. These guys are great. I don't want to buy into it, but man, I love these guys. I just love them. And then this year, and I don't know if it's because it's the first time back, right, in a couple years, or if it actually is the players. Bro, you've got a man crush. You got a bro love on all of these guys.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I'm excited about the team in general. I do think that they've built something. I don't know if they're a playoff team yet. Right, pending whatever other moves Jerry's going to make. I saw Howdy tweeting about Jose Ramirez. I know that you know, you're still talking about another pitcher, and we'll see where they go. I'm not on board yet with this is a 95 win team or anything like that. I'm really not. But in terms of just a radio perspective, talking to these guys, their personality, their investment, their willingness to just sort of hang out and chat. I've been blown away, especially considering some of the ages.
Yes.
I mean, Logan Gilbert is a really young guy with not even a full year of major league experience, and he's having a really mature conversation about the game, about his pitches, about his development, about his place in it. Talking today, it was earlier this morning, I talked to Matt Brash. Dude's never played in a major league game. And just like the sort of maturity and interest, Jesse Winker, the new kid, literally just walked over to the table and started talking. Like, hey, yeah, I'll sit down. What's going on? How are we guys doing? Like, it just, we haven't really seen a lot of that level of friendliness and also just investment in, the game, their place in it, you know, what they're learning and their development. I think that's what's impressed me.
You know, when we were there, Scott Service wanted to build a foundation, build a culture of conversation, of communication, right? They would have their meetings and you had veteran guys and some that bought into it and a bunch of them that did, but there were still some that did not. Are those still ongoing? Or is this such a good group of dudes that he doesn't need to feel like he needs kumbaya meetings?
No, I think that his meetings will go on indefinitely because I think it's sort of at the crux of his goal and the culture he's trying to build. Matt Brash wasn't around 5 years ago for the immediate, you know, trying to build culture. He's still got to get to know guys and new teammates that he's never met before. So I think that goes on. In fact, Brash was telling me this morning he had to do one of those world news reports on things going on in Canada. It was like a moose report. He's talking about the meese and where they're going and what they're doing. So,
wow.
Yeah, I think that is, not only does it continue, I think it's almost just as vital now as it ever was.
But there is just a clearing. There's a clearing of the old guard.
Yeah.
And it's very clearly.
Well, think about what they had to, what they had to move on from.
Yeah.
And they've had to move
on.
Hold on,
hold on. Quiet.
You hear the click?
Oh, yes.
That's Chris Flexen.
Shh.
Yeah. And Marco Gonzalez. Yep, there's some clacking. Okay, sorry, they're gone.
Oh, that's great.
You like that?
Really, that was
good. I think Justin's working, by the way, on a baseball ASMR bit.
Please, sign me up. Oh.
Baseball spring training ASMR. Glove, how good does that sound?
Grind of the cleats.
But like slow, really up close and slow down.
The birds chirping, because I hear birds every morning.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, dude, it's pretty spectacular.
Okay,
here.
Sorry, Howdy.
You're right,
you
Brock.
Say?
Those guys are all gone. They're all gone.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, who are the veterans left really on this team? And you got Mitch Haniger and you got Marco Gonzalez.
Tom
Other than
Murphy,
that, I mean, ish.
As a catcher, you give him a little more for the spot he plays.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But, I mean, in terms of when you're saying old guard, it does not feel like, A, there's a lot of that, or B, that you have some of those different islands like you used to see in the clubhouse, mm-hmm. right, with one group over here and their music and another group with their music. I'll tell you, I don't know if I'm supposed to repeat this, but I will. I happen to walk through there today, just very briefly. Ping pong table this year, and there's some real legitimate power ping pong being played. And I heard J.P. Crawford turn around and go, hey, watch your mouth, watch your language, and walk out.
Oh, is he talking to you?
Like, no, he was not. I mean, he could have been. He was not.
Were you
no.
dog cussing the power ping pongers?
Yeah, I was. No. I don't know who he was talking to. I couldn't see, and even if I could, I wouldn't say who it was. Mm-hmm. But I just thought it was, like, you know, A, leader, right? We've talked about how this is his team, emotional leader of the team. But just trying to do things the right way, and just, you know, he wasn't angry about it. Just like, hey, watch your mouth. That's not what we're doing here. I thought it was cool, just a really small thing, and it seemed to kind of speak to kind of what they're trying to build.
Yeah, that old guard had a lot of guaranteed money,
mm-hmm.
a lot of guaranteed contracts, right? And had track records to prove and to give them authority to pay those guys that way. Not a lot of guaranteed money on this roster.
No, not a ton. I think that's it's another really good point. But, you know, Brock, I've heard and I've read it on Twitter, the Mariners don't want to give money to anybody. They just, you know, they don't want to spend any money, right?
Well, they're scared
Isn't
to.
Isn't that it? They're too scared to spend money. They don't want to, I gotta
cheap,
tell you, I don't
Mike,
mean,
they're cheap.
I don't,
they're cheap.
They're just being cheap, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to start getting frustrated today. I'm really happy. But this whole idea, I honestly believe that right now people seem to want to prefer the Mariners spend more money on worse players than trade for better ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, you want to prove you're in or not?
Yeah, I don't know how spending money is the only way to prove you're in. I do think they could spend more money. There's plenty of room for them to do it. But I think the time for them to prove that spending money is important, as I'm kind of realizing and walking through and seeing what they've done and some of the creativity with the Winker and Suarez deal, is going to be when these guys come up, right? When you have to re-sign Julio, when you've got to re-sign Kelnick if he does what he's supposed to, when you've got to pay for J.P. Crawford, and depending on what they decide to do with some of these young guys, like, are you able to ensure that they're part of your organization long-term? And then can you take on salary at the right times with the right people? I don't mind anybody going 5, 6, 7 years, as long as you're convinced that that's the right person to do it with, yes. right? As Jerry DePoto's walking by me right now. I mean, I love what
What's
he's
up,
doing.
Jerry? What's up, dude? Hey, Jerry, yeah. I got an elliptical workout for you, bro.
Jerry, oh, yeah.
By the way, Jerry's telling me he's doing more elliptical, less running these days.
Uh-huh.
A little lower impact.
Yeah.
Try to give him a half-hour workout.
Yeah, Brock was trying to swap workout advice with him. I'm sure Jerry misses
Jerry
that.
Was not having
yeah.
it.
Yeah, oh, thanks.
When was that?
Don't you remember that?
3 years ago.
Hey, Dip? What's up, Jake?
Like, I remember that. How would I possibly
Three
remember?
Years ago,
remember
Brock
anything.
Thought this was going to be a great way to make a connection with uh-huh. Jerry DePoto.
Wrote out a workout for
wrote
Jerry.
Wrote an elliptical yeah. workout uh-huh. for Jerry DePoto that Jerry said, oh, uh-huh.
Thanks. Yeah, that's great.
Ripped it up and threw
and
it in
that
the
was it.
Yes.
What's up, man?
Is that what people want? Do they want Jerry to just spend more money
of
so
course,
that they can
they
say
want
the Mariners
the
are more in?
Mike, they want the known. They want the known commodity. They want the known commodity with the track record. They want to actually win. They want
Hold
the
on, but,
they
but,
want
but you
the
don't
bride.
Mean the track record. You just mean the – it's not the track because Jesse Winker's track record is arguably better and more consistent over a smaller period of time and a younger player than the big-name free agents. Right?
He doesn't have a world, he doesn't have a World Series. He doesn't have
Neither
an MVP.
Is Trevor Story.
He doesn't have All-Stars. He, you know, like Chris Bryant. So, you know, they want the bride, and they want to be wanted. See, you know, years ago, gosh, we want these players. They don't want to come here. They don't want to come to Seattle. It's an outpost. So you've got to overpay or you got to trade for Cano or otherwise. You know, we didn't get Fielder. We didn't get these guys. They didn't want to come here. Now, okay, Jerry's building all this. Okay, now we're on the come. Now I've got Julio Rodriguez and Jared Kelnick and the number one farm system. Assuredly, free agents are going to want to come here now. So I think that is some of the vibe, whether it's realistic or unrealistic, of now I want to show everybody that like, we're cool. Like, we are the cool kids. They do want to come play with us.
Well, I would say a couple things. One, I think that's still a problem. I do still think there's an outpost issue. I do still think that, especially now, we were talking about this last night with Shannon at dinner. Remember, they're getting rid of the, you know, extra games against your division. You're going to play all 29 other teams in the league. Guess who that's going to hurt the most, travel-wise?
Yep.
Seattle Mariners. Yep. I mean, that stuff is real. I believe, and I can't, I have no evidence of this whatsoever, but knowing a lot of the political leanings of many of the free agents and guys in baseball, if they turn on Fox News every day, which I know many of them do, and read and watch about how Seattle is decrepit and dying, etc., you don't think that that has an effect on those guys?
Yep.
I think it does.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I'm not going to get into that argument. The point isn't whether they are. The point is that that's what they see and that that's what many of them believe. And so, you know, yeah, it might be a little harder to get them to come to Seattle when they could come to Arizona or they could go to Colorado or whatever the case may be in terms of a competitor. You don't have the history. They may have a negative feeling about the city, whether it's fair or unfair. And you're right. I mean, the travel schedule is a bit of a challenge. So do the Mariners have to overpay? Yes. But that I'm not sure that's the actual issue right now, Brock, because tell me where Chris Bryant signed. Has he signed yet? No, he hasn't. Tell me where Trevor Story signed. Tell me where Carlos Correa signed. Tell me where Freddie Freeman is signed. Now, maybe by the time this launches, one of those guys or more will end up accepting a deal. But it sure looks right now like they're not going to sign anywhere. And I don't know how many times I've made a getting left at the altar comparison.
62, according to my count, so we're listening this week.
Or a metaphor about, you know, the musical chairs and not want to be stuck there. But can you imagine the anger and resentment and honestly bona fide real frustration you would have if at the end of this they didn't get anybody? Mm-hmm. If they had stuck in it and, you know, gone all in, chips to the middle on all of these free agents and none of them decided to come here, how much more mad would you be then than getting two players, especially one in Winker, that's better than any of the guys that you were even talking about? Mm-hmm. Not Correa. Correa's a much better player. So is Freeman, but they're not coming here. So better than Bryant and Story? Mm-hmm. I think Winker's a better hitter than either of those two
guys. Are they even at a place, so step back just a little bit or fly back to 5-10,000 feet? Are the Mariners at a place right now in your opinion? Oh, what's up? What's up? Who is that?
That's Drew Steckenrider.
Oh, yeah. That's
what's up, Drew? Steck?
Yeah.
Drew Steckenrider.
Casey Sadler with him.
You got George Kirby over there. You got Matt Festa. Yeah.
I think I need that as my noisemaker at night.
Sleep to that?
Yes. Yeah.
White noise.
It sounds good. A little bit like a dripping faucet or little raindrops. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So good.
There you go. Gosh, yeah. So and that's good. Shannon walking by too. She's not wearing cleats. she is walking by and she's stamping her foot. So maybe that.
Are they at 10,000 feet? Are they even in a place right now where they need to overspend? In a roster construct standpoint, and maybe I would argue.
Let me throw it back at you. What do you think? Do they?
Not for a positional player. I don't think so. Because the overriding thought I have, and I may be dead wrong on this, and I'm not sitting there at that picnic table with you. But my feeling just from afar is I've kind of watched this unfold, and I've always told you, Mike, and this is Marvin Demoff 25 years ago, nobody knows their own guys like your own team. So I'd get so excited. Lavon Kirkland, these guys coming. Ricky Waters. He's like, nobody knows their guys like their own team. Some of this, from a positional standpoint, they know. They know how good Julio is. They know. They know how good Jared Kelnick can be. And do you need to overspend for Chris Bryant when you know that's coming? I know they're different positions. I know they're different guys.
Yeah.
I know there's still some defensive woes and issues in some spots. But I also just have kind of this feeling like, yeah, man, they really – this isn't just Baseball America that loves, you know, their farm system. They actually like Pete Carroll, like John Schneider, really like their own guys. And even more so believe in them that now is not the time to give Chris Bryant two more years in $50 million because we're going to have to pay Julio and Jared and Kirby and Logan and our own guys because they are actually legitimately good.
Yeah, I think there's an element to that. I also think that they have enough money to do both.
Yes,
I mean, you know, they're so far below where they're eventually going to be or should be in terms of payroll that I don't think that one thing necessarily precludes them from doing the other. But I think your bigger point there in terms of what is worth overpaying for right now is a good one. And I guess I would say that if I'm the Mariners, you're kind of in a sweet spot to be able to do both. And this is why I like this trade so much for Suarez and Winker. If your offense looks exactly as it does today when you open the season, it's good enough.
Who's the leadoff?
That's a good question. It might be Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
It might be Crawford. I mean, you got a couple of options,
okay,
depending on which direction they choose
who's
to go.
Who's 3, 4, 5, and 6?
God, I haven't really penciled all of
this
out
yet. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
I mean, but Haniger's probably going to be in there. Winker's probably going to be in there. Kelnick's probably going to be in there as a 3, 4, 5 kind of an option.
Suarez is going to be in there.
France could be in there. Suarez. I mean, like, you got some real options in terms of how you want to put together. And here's the thing. I think that lineup's going to change almost every day because they've got so many versatile players, and so they can play so much matchup, and they're going to have to rotate guys through the outfield and through DH, et cetera, that I don't know that there is going to be one set 3, 4, 5, 6, bro, because you're constantly going to be moving guys around. So kind of a hard question to answer.
Okay.
But you know what? Nothing they've done precludes Trevor Story from coming here. If you leave an offer on the table for Trevor Story and he says at the end of it, okay, fine, I'll come play second base, I'm in. Okay, trade Frazier. I mean, you do that tomorrow easily. You can, you know, eat some of whatever you need to do in order to do, in order to deal. You have to get back the best prospect ever, but you can still trade Adam Frazier at the end of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to eat some of the money, you could probably trade Suarez if you felt like you had a real third baseman that you liked better. And so they're in a really great position, I think, to be able to add more if they want to and if they figure out that that's where their need is. Or if they end up going in the pitching side, they have either the money or the prospects to try to bring in another arm. So I see them as being in a fantastic spot.
Do you buy what Jason Churchill shared yesterday? I think it was yesterday, sometime this week with Heaps and Stacy, that they are one elite arm away from being the front runner now in this division?
Well, when he says that, is Carlos Correa back with the Astros or not? Because I just get the sense that he's going to be. I don't know if you follow. Have you followed this Correa thing? It's so ridiculous. It is so
sad. Is he
sad.
A Boris? He's a Boris guy, right?
He's now
a, it's
he
not
is.
Well, he's a new Boris
now
guy.
Now he is.
Oh,
and
that's
fired his agents during the lockout. Yeah. He's like, yeah, forget
so
this.
If he signs a 7-year deal with the Dodgers
the
for $500 million, the old agent gets 90% of it. Boris gets a small little piece. If he signs a 7-year deal with a 1-year opt-out, opts out after a year and then signs a new 6-year deal, Boris gets 100% of the 6 years. Wow. So what do you think is going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
How do you see this going down?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, maybe it's a 1-year thing and he, you know, Boris sacrifices it short term and then ends up signing somewhere else. And I think if he does that, it would be where he's comfortable and where he's a known quantity in Houston. So I believe he will probably end up back with Houston. And I don't think that I could say the Mariners would be the front runner at that point. And I think you could make that same argument against the Angels that, you know, adding a little bit to that rotation, they're going to have Trout back. He didn't really play much last year. They're going to get Rendon back. He didn't play much last year. So, I don't know. I think it's still a pretty darn tough division, even as Oakland kind of heads downhill. I think the Angels will be better than they've been. I know everyone says that every year, but I kind of believe it. And the Rangers are going to be better. I don't know if they're going to be great yet, but they've added. And they already had a couple of scrappy guys. You remember some of those games and how intense they were last year with the Rangers. And the Astros are still the king of the mountain until somebody throws them off.
You need an elite arm. As much as I like everything that we've talked about for 20 minutes and I've listened to you in Arizona, I find myself leaning more and more into that. You still need – Robbie Ray was awesome, and I think many of us forget
about
that.
So do you not consider him an elite arm?
Oh,
I mean,
for sure.
He was a Cy Young Award winner.
Yes, he is a 1-2. Yep, but you need in this division, if you really want to then have the flexibility, if the right deal comes for that elite arm and give up one of your studs, you need an elite arm.
Well,
more in my mind than a positional player.
If that's what you're looking for is an elite arm, there's probably really only one available via trade. right? I mean, Zach Greinke, I guess you could sign. Do you consider Greinke to be an elite arm? I don't think you would at this point, right? I mean, not compared to the guys you've got. I mean, I think I'd rather have Gilbert. I might rather see some of the young kids than Greinke at this point. So I wouldn't consider him in that category. If you're looking for true elite arm, you're probably talking about Frankie Montas from the A's. And at that point, he's got enough player club control that you're giving up a small fortune to get him.
Is it Marquez from the Rockies as well?
Germán Marquez?
I don't see that happening. Really? I don't see them dealing him. For whatever reason, the Rockies don't seem inclined to deal that guy. I know we've had those conversations over the last year or so. They don't seem inclined to deal him. I'm not saying that I wouldn't love him or that he wouldn't be worth it. Mm-hmm. They don't seem interested in dealing him. And the A's are having a fire sale, so Montas and Minaya are both possibilities. If you're going to do it, you probably want to do it for more club control, and that means you're doing it for Montas. So, you know, they just got a haul back for Olson. They got a haul back for Chapman. And if I looked at it, I would say that Montas is more valuable than either of those two guys, given the amount of time he has left and given the position he plays. And also with Chapman, you've had the injury concern. So how much do you really want to give up? You just gave up Williamson, right? You want to give up Marte and Brash and something else? I mean, you're probably starting with that, I would think, at this point for Frankie Montas. Mm-hmm. So it's not as easy as it sounds. I understand the idea. I just don't know whether, not that it's not worth it, but you still have enough question marks that I'm not sure I'm ready to go put all of the eggs in that basket. One of the things I love so much about the Suarez and Winker deal is that you only really gave up one piece.
Yep.
Right? I mean, does anybody think that
Howdy does. Howdy likes Dunn still.
Howdy likes Dunn. Yeah, I'm out. I've always kind of been out on Dunn. And I don't think that Fraley is, you know, maybe he's a fringe third outfielder. You really gave up just one piece from your pitching depth, and you just have so much of it. Yep. But without it, now you have a little bit less depth, right? And so if you've got to do another big pitching deal in order to get what you want, yeah, now all of a sudden you're starting to really, really eat into it a little bit. So I'm not sure you're ready to do that.
Okay, so the two of you that hosted a Spaces, which was really good, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoyed you.
Like 6,000 people listen to that.
I know. It's amazing. When you bring Howdy aboard, people come.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Howdy, what did you do to get so many people to listen?
I've been building a database. No. I've been building a reputation, Mike. I've been saying this for years, and you're just finally getting on board.
You've been saying for years that you've been building a reputation?
I've been saying my thing for years, and people are paying attention. You're the last one to pay attention to it.
So we are about 20 days, 21 days or so from opening day.
Yeah.
Over the next 21 days, as the Mariners set their roster, and it's a little bit expanded, right, with the new rules and everything else, will there be another marquee player, positional player, starter arm, not bullpen, not something on the back end, will there be another marquee move for Jerry, Scott, and the Mariners over the next 21 days?
I'll say the odds are against it because the odds are always against it. Does that make sense? Like, it's always easier to say that nothing will happen than something will happen. So my guess is, if I had to bet, I would say no. But I would kind of back that up by saying two other things. One, I think Jerry will keep looking for it. I would be surprised if they had pulled any offers that anything they were already willing to offer to Bryant or to Story, I would think they would continue to offer it. And beyond that, I would think that they're continuing to have conversations about maybe not the highest impact that you're talking about there, Brock, but the next level down or two, right? So maybe, no, it's not the Montas or the Minaya or that level, but there are still other players, or Marquez. There are still other players that could be really helpful to your team that aren't quite there. And then if you don't get that group, then you've got the kind of Tyler Anderson depth, right, fifth starter kind of guy that can come in and add more in case somebody gets hurt. So I would be surprised if this is the roster. But I also would be surprised if they were able to get one of those truly elite-level talents.
Howdy?
I don't think that they're going to make another serious ad in the offseason. But the reason they're not going to do it, I think, is the one that's getting everyone frustrated, is that I think they've got a really strong set of principles and what they think things are worth, and they are not willing to stretch outside of it. And that
Should
goes
they?
in prospect value and in money value.
Should they do that?
I think that in money value and years, yes. I think that the fear of getting locked into a long-term contract and having to pay guys well beyond their value is a red herring. I think that you can. There's so many examples in baseball recently of being able to get out of money if you really want to.
Robbie Cano.
That's just not a real thing anymore.
Hey, Eugenio Suarez.
It's just not a thing anymore. So long-term deals, the insistence on not overpaying for guys later on in their career, I think it's overblown, and I think it's time to break that mold if it means getting impact for the next 3 years. And I think it probably cost them in some negotiations and some guys they would even consider, like the Corey Seagers. Obviously, there's more there. Or
there's
like
no way they were going Corey
like
Seager.
Like Semien, like Correa, those kinds of guys. I think they patently dismissed in some ways because their principles won't allow them to do it.
Yeah, there might be some of that. I think I can understand that. And they are kind of trying to build through their own guys. And maybe they're worried about the changes to the clubhouse. By the way, the Corey Seager thing is fascinating. Just kind of this. Did you notice that the Dodgers never really made an effort to get Corey Seager to keep him?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like zero. Does that tell you anything at all? Mm-hmm. The Dodgers have more money than God. They didn't even like consider. They didn't in any way seriously consider keeping Seager.
Yep.
Watching his brother be a clubhouse lawyer for as long as we did, you got to wonder if some of that runs in the family and just exactly what Corey Seager is going to end up doing to the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
Obviously a good player, but it does make me wonder.
Can I present one more question to my Twitter space stars? Are you up for this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Fine.
Do we need to answer that? I thought it was a rhetorical question.
No. I like affirmation. Okay. I'm okay with that.
You can, all right. You can words affirm. Of affirmation. Uh-huh. Yes. Love language.
When do we see George Kirby and Julio Rodriguez? Hold on a second. Is that the strength coach talking reps behind you, too?
I don't know.
Reps and immediately goes, squirrel, squirrel, reps.
Buff Dude Report, I'm hearing it over your shoulder right there. Somebody's out there.
Brock, you would have loved some of the stuff they're doing in that shaded outdoor area where they do all the stretching and stuff.
Yeah.
Between all the driveline stuff, I watched Logan Gilbert do some crazy stuff with a medicine ball today.
Yep.
And then he was lying on his stomach, feet in the air kind of above him and face into the ground with his legs, or his arms rather, behind him.
Whoa.
One going down towards his like lower back,
yeah,
and one up towards the back of his head, and he was doing these crazy stretches like that. It was bizarre.
Wow.
You would have loved it.
And he's got long arms.
Real long.
Long levers.
Really, really long, yeah, arms.
Okay, so Julio Rodriguez, Kirby, when do we see him?
They desperately want him to play center, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Desperately. The Mariners, the way they've approached this offseason, the only way I can see it making sense is they desperately want Julio Rodriguez in center field.
Is he fast enough to do that?
Brock, I haven't watched him take balls in center field yet,
uh-huh,
but I literally, a half hour before this started, was watching him do a running drill with the other outfielders. Dude, he's a freak.
Really?
The way he runs and glides is unreal.
Huh.
They were saying the other day, we heard that he has gained either a half a grade or a full grade in speed in the last year.
Wow.
Like, he's getting tall. He gained an inch. He's an inch taller than he was, and he's gaining speed as he gets bigger.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's going to last forever. I think that's probably unreasonable.
How old is he?
21.
Okay.
He's 21 years old.
Okay.
Dude,
yep.
I can't even tell you how ridiculously athletic he is, how big and strong and physical he looks,
mm-hmm,
combined with how fast and how well he moves. Now, I don't know, you know, if he's shifty, and I don't know if he's going to kind of have the, like, instant acceleration,
mm-hmm,
to be able to play center field, and I honestly haven't watched it yet. But in terms of the straight-up gliding ability, freakishly fast.
And do you want to do that to a guy of that size?
They're going to try Kelnick there and see if it works and see if it's possible. I think if they're going to do it, they have to have some sort of a defensive replacement, late game kind of an option here if they're really trying to win games.
Okay.
Maybe that's Dylan Moore. Maybe Taylor Trammell makes the team for that reason. Maybe there's somebody else that they can go get who's just sort of a cheap defensive center field option. But it's a really good question. When does Julio show up here in Seattle? By June 1st and probably earlier, potentially April. And I would say for Kirby, I'd almost give the same answer by June 1st.
Howdy.
Yeah, I think that they are really, really, really hoping that they get to roll out Julio day one in center field. Really hoping that that's what they get
to do. It's only 3 weeks away.
And Kirby, I think they'll wait because I think they want to keep his innings down. Mm. But if they sign somebody like like Matt Boyd or like Danny Duffy, who's available midseason, that they may think twice and start that earlier, knowing that there's a veteran arm coming on the backside.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think that if I had to guess right now, if they're not able to add somebody, I would guess they end up starting Brash at the beginning of the year as their fifth starter. But, you know, there's still some legitimate concerns with all of these young guys in terms of their ability to throw strikes. They are absolutely wicked in terms of the stuff, the raw, filthy stuff. Brash was throwing 100 miles an hour today. He's hitting 100, and then you've seen the slider. It's absurd.
He's throwing 100 before games start in spring training.
Yes. He's just down here whipping the ball 100 miles an hour in a bullpen and then throwing that slider that you can't see. But can he always put it over the strike zone? Can he control the zone? Can he do all those things? Yeah, we'll see. And so, you know, I think their ability to do that in spring training will end up dictating it. But if I had to guess, they will start with him as their first option with Kirby waiting in the wings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's not him, you might not want to hear it, but Margavičius, I would think, might be the next option just because he's done it. He's a serviceable major league starter at the back end of a rotation. So, you know, you can continue to kind of let those guys develop and see whether or not they're able to consistently throw strikes. But their options are, I mean, they got a million of them. It really is cool seeing just how many options they have.
Can I give you one last thing, tidbit, that I've learned at spring training this week? Just kind of listening. And it's been great to be here and see Kyle and Howdy in person. I'm imagining you across from me right now, in fact. But one of the highlights, honestly, like one of the big, whew, kind of wow moments I did not think I'd see coming, Larry Salk.
Powerhouse performance.
What'd you like?
Bro, he crushed it.
Yeah.
He was witty. He was likable. He was funny.
Were those things surprising to you?
He was warm. Well, I think a lot of times radio can be hard. It kind of mutes that stuff down.
Like the Roger from Tacoma thing?
He was cocksure of himself. He was sitting on set just like, yep. Were his hands
very
behind
confident.
His, hands behind his head even?
Were they? Like, I don't know if I noticed that.
Just so comfortable.
Well, it doesn't seem to me that Larry suffers fools. He was meant business. I liked it.
Well, I mean, I would say that I put him at ease, don't you think? I mean, we've known each other my entire life.
That your jokes he didn't find funny. You made a joke about dessert, and he was like, yeah, you thought that joke was better than
I did.
I didn't laugh.
Is this the least surprising moment of the Brock and Salk podcast? That we immediately start to talk about Salk's dad's positivity and him finding a way to try and get the credit for it? Are you serious? Is there quintessential moment of Mike Salk on the fucking Salk?
No, false. False.
Well, it was really being in my presence.
No, false. Because here's what was going on. No, Howdy, you're being a jerk. That is not true. What was happening is that you were trying to insinuate that he was great because it's so surprising because Salk's such a jerk, and I had to find a way to fight back because otherwise you're just trying to make me look bad like you usually do. So, no, it has nothing to do with me trying to take the credit. It is entirely me trying to make sure that you don't walk all over me like you try to. How about that?
We know that your mom has the optimism thing that tends to drive you nuts.
Why don't you just go
maybe
grab
it's worn off
on
your dad.
Grab a little bit of barbecue and just move your way on through. I think you can, as Justin likes to say, you can take the L on this one.
Me?
Just give us a little bit more from the steakhouse and the barbecue.
All right.
Man.
You want to hear a little barbecue?
Yeah, I do.
You want to go barbecue at a business meeting?
Yep.
Are you comfortable with that? Famous Dave's barbecue at a business meeting? Okay. They got famously sawsome catering. It's ideal when you want your meeting or event to be delicious, memorable, and stress-free. Customized for delivery, pickup, or full service. The famous Q, designed to allow you to kick back and crush some classic Q, whether you're diving into a brief or digging into a brisket. Now, that's a brief, not briefs, right?
Yeah, well, especially when we're talking about your dad.
Exactly. All right. Just think about going whole hog on some St. Louis-style spare ribs, cornbread muffins, or Georgia chopped pork, all the while nodding agreeably. That's a Howdy thing, by the way, a PowerPoint presentation. Howdy will give you a very agreeable nod, that's for sure. That's the dream, man. From the smoking starters and fresh salads to barbecue bundles and feasts, Famous Dave's Slow Cook Goodness is there to add some flavor to your work schedule. Full details, of course, at FamousDaves.com. Well, Brock, it is essentially the most important, if not the only question that will be asked over and over again about the Seahawks for, I don't know how long. We'll wait and find out. Who should be their quarterback? Mm. I mean, it is. We talked a little bit about it last week. There were a few names that were surfacing. Since then, we got a few more names, right? So we can start adding to this list. Let's see what the list looks like today, okay?
Okay.
You've got Marcus Mariota. You've got Baker Mayfield. You got Matt Ryan. You got Jameis Winston. We're going to take Deshaun Watson's name fully off this list formally, thankfully, at least for now. You've got, who else do
Jimmy
I need to
Garoppolo.
Add to this? Jimmy Garoppolo. You got my guy, Tyler Huntley. You've got Gardner Minshew and old man Minshew, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Drew Locke. We're going to put his name in there since, you know, he's currently their quarterback. People keep wanting to put Jacob Eason in there. I'm not willing to do that. I'm just going to keep him off this list. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't have that in
Please
me.
No. Okay.
Is there anybody else that I'm missing that needs
Andrew
to be
Luck.
On our list?
Oh.
I saw Andrew Luck. I saw somebody who really wanted to see Drew Luck with Drew Locke on the same roster competing for the job. What do you think?
Based off Andrew Luck on the field before the national title game, he's about 50 pounds under his playing weight.
Yeah. Okay. So we're not going to go with Drew Luck to compete with Drew Locke.
No. I think that's a pretty strong list right there.
And
do you want to just add draft? Do you want to just put...
Put Malik Willis's name on there, or... I'll put Matt Corral there. I'm not willing to put the guy with the small hands. There's no way
Pickett? They
draft the kid Pickett with the 8.5-inch hands. There's no way.
Okay.
I have bigger hands than him, and I can't throw a football. There's no way.
Okay.
No chance. I'm saying no way on Pickett.
That's an N-O-G-O.
That's an N-O-G-O.
That's an N-O on T-O.
Exactly.
All right.
So, Brock, what do we think?
I don't think I've deviated and moved off of my Marcus Mariota. Out of all of those guys, first and foremost, Drew Locke is going to get every opportunity. He's going to get every opportunity, whether you like it or not. They traded for him with where this roster is. If they gave Charlie Whitehurst and Tavares Jackson and those guys every opportunity in the first build of this foundation, they're going to give a 6'4", 225-pound, very good athlete, with NFL experience, 20 starts under his belt, sometimes looking good. You could put a highlight tape of Drew Locke on there in the NFL and go, wow, this guy's got an arm. And they believe that they've got a higher grade on him than anybody in this draft. So I think going into this thing, you are going to hear Pete and John, as they did this afternoon, talk about him, but it will be in a competitive environment. And as I said to you a couple weeks ago, after Russell and the news became clear and he was out, Drew Locke is going to be, and I think going to get first cracked. And of all of these other guys that compete with him, Marcus Mariota would be the most intriguing systematically to me.
What is it about the system that you think works with Mariota?
Run, play action, movement, get the ball out, easy decisions, all of the things that frankly should favor Drew Locke as well. And did in some ways when he had Rich Gangarello his rookie year when he went 4-1. At
Who?
The end of that year.
Rich Gangarello.
Rich Gangarello? Who is that?
Scangarello.
Scangarello?
What?
Yeah. Wait, you just changed his name from Gangarello to Scangarello. You don't even
Kangaroo.
Know the guy's name.
I think it starts with an S. I think the last name
Who's
does.
The guy who Garamucci. Plays for the Cougs, Kyle, who's on their basketball team? They got that commercial. Papagini?
Papagini with the...
F-A-Abagini?
Oh, I thought it was Papagini.
Papagini!
Every time I hear it, I'm not trying to make fun of the guy's name.
Abagini.
I thought it was Papagini, which I thought was great. that's not even his name?
Give the ball to the Papa. No,
okay.
Yeah, it's F-A-Abagini.
And he shoots, and he misses.
Trent for the win! Air ball.
All right. So when Drew Locke's got a coordinator who you've never heard of and who will never work in the NFL again,
he's now good. Thank you
but
very
with
much.
Other quarterbacks who other – oh, was that Kentucky?
He's now at Kentucky.
Didn't Drew Locke play at Missouri?
He played in Missouri.
This guy was his coordinator in college?
No. He was at – Drew had like 4 coordinators in 4 years at the University of Missouri. Like if you want to, you're going to hear the reasons and the excuses and the explanation. So
went to the NFL, played for a defensive head coach in Vic Fangio.
Multiple coordinators.
2 coordinators in 3 years.
Yep, including Rich Gangarello or something like that.
Something similar.
Can you Google that, Howdy, while we're doing this?
No.
Yes,
please don't. You don't even know what the name is. How can you Google it?
I think it's Rich Scangarello. Yeah, something like that.
Rich Scangarello.
So because I think both of these guys, Mariota, Locke, good athletes, 6'4", shared traits – Both of them not highest accuracy guys. Both of them not at their very best between the tackles. But run, play action movement, many of the things that we saw at the end of last year when this thing was flourishing and thriving with Russell. And oh, by the way, both plenty strong arm, can throw it 70, 75 yards and push the ball down the field. Those would be the two that'd be intriguing to me.
I like Mariota, but I do. What's up, Each? There we go. There's Ichiro walking by again, Brock. That's your guy. He gave me a point.
Did he nod? Oh, he pointed?
Yeah, no, he pointed at me. Wow. Dude, Ichiro's been super friendly here. I'm going to tell you. Yeah. Like, the friendliest guy. Uh-huh. Mariota, I like. I've always liked
him. And it didn't cost you anything. He's a free agent.
Right.
You just got to pay him.
That.
And if you want to pay him 2 years and $15 million or whatever it's going to be as this market softens a little, or I don't know what he's aiming for, but that number feels about right. 2 years, $15 million.
I would do that. I have no issues doing that. There's no downside to bring in Mariota. You know, John loves his former first rounders who have fallen on hard times, right? Mm-hmm. So Mariota certainly fits that bill. I do worry a bit about the fumbles. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but just watching him in Tennessee, because I've always liked Mariota and I've rooted for him and hoped that he would, you know, really ascend to heights past Jameis Winston after they were drafted 1 and 2 together. And you know what strikes
me about those two as
well? He fumbles a lot.
He does.
He fumbles a lot.
He does. And you know what strikes me about both of those guys? And you saw it, unfortunately, with Locker in Tennessee as well. I don't know if it's part of playing there or whatever it is, but they're just the love of football, right? Mm-hmm. The love of football just kind of fell away from him.
That's interesting.
And I know the Seahawks feel that way about Drew Lock. Kyle joked about it, but like, hey man, you go to Denver. There's huge expectations. Russell's walking into him now. He's going to feel the weight of that market quickly. He's going to sense the shadow of John Elway and Peyton Manning. And Drew Lock was the second round pick, and he was after all these guys, Paxton Lynch and Case Keenum, and all these failures. And then the expectations and the world was on Drew's shoulders with a defensive coordinator as a head coach that is a curmudgeon, old school, grumpy, doesn't even care about offense. And I know that the Seahawks are going to say, hey, man, you come here. There is no one like Pete, man. Pete is a builder of people. Pete is an encourager. Pete is not about
fear. I think
there's
some value to that.
So both, I think, again, for both of those two guys, traits-wise, background-wise, I think a breath of fresh air in an optimism, in a positivity, in a build them up. I don't know, man. I'd kind of go for that in 2020.
Is there? I'm going to disagree. I've got some other names that are higher on my list. Before we get there, though, because I'm open certainly to Mariota. I think he's an interesting option. Is there anybody that you would like to just remove from this list and say no chance? I'm not interested.
Yeah,
Doesn't
Jimmy
mean they
Garoppolo.
Are not interested.
I'd take Jimmy off. I'd take Jameis off. I'd take Matt Ryan off. I think any of these picks in the first round I'd take off. Now at 40 or 41. If Corral,
yeah, do you like Corral at 40 or 41?
Corral would be the one to me at 40 or 41 if he's sitting there. That would be.
What do you like about him?
He's just kind of twitchy. He's just quick twitch. He's got a strong arm. He's got a very quick release. He's got very bad ankles, which concerns me.
How do you know that?
I know that. Okay, his entire career, he's got bad ankles. Like my old
roommate.
What
does that mean? They get hurt?
Yes.
Or mean like, or
my
you just
roommate.
Don't like the look of them?
Yeah,
what do you
my
mean?
Old roommate,
like Jeff, knobby?
Jeff Johnson, my old roommate, his sister, bad ankles. Had to wear ankle braces.
What? Wait, yeah. Old roommate.
What are you saying is wrong with his ankles?
His sister has bad ankles.
Yes. Jeff's sister, bad ankles. Poor thing. I think he had a horse injury, and it just ruined her ankles.
A horse injury?
Yes.
Equine injury.
Yeah, falling off a horse.
And that sounds like something that would have happened to James Paxton.
Yes, and I saw Jen. I'm like, Jeff, why is she wearing ankle braces walking around campus?
Jeff, what's wrong with your sister's ankles?
She's got weak ankles.
Bad ankles.
She's got bulbous ankles.
No. See, usually when you say things like that about somebody, it's like, oh, they got cankles. I don't like the look of it.
Right?
Or
no. This is
but
function.
You're saying they get hurt a lot.
And Matt Corral's gotten banged up a lot, and he's a little guy. He's gonna be on that threshold his entire career. Just size-wise, and he also was a little loose with the football, both running it and throwing
it.
And yeah, don't love that. But just as far as kind of a unique, twitchy, super fast, great eyes, great feet, balls out, movement. There's some things I kind of like.
So you and I are going to agree. We're going to eliminate Jameis Winston. Bad guy, bad quarterback. Like, no thanks. I'm not interested. No chance. No way. No how. Sorry. I'm out.
Matt Ryan is too old, and he's not going to come for a rebuild. But I
wouldn't be mad if Matt Ryan showed up. Like, it's not like what I would go out there and seek out. But if you watched a year or two of Matt Ryan while you're trying to figure out what you're going to do, like, I wouldn't object to that. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. He's just...
Howdy loves him. Howdy thinks he's beautiful, right?
Very expensive.
You're like, very good-looking quarterback guy.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. Definitely the comparison. He's got some pretty big teeth, but otherwise, mm-hmm. you know, he's not bad.
Howdy's always talking about how good-looking
he got new hair, too. He put some new hair on top, and yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, that'll help. Mm-hmm. You know, put a couple, make you look a little bit younger.
Okay.
I wouldn't be mad about Matt Ryan, but I'm not, like, excited necessarily about that.
Why should you be concerned? Matt Ryan was a Boston College guy.
Yeah, Mike. Right.
Should you be concerned, Mike, that your two experts you had on your show this week did not know the name Tyler Huntley?
I am a little concerned. I'm not going to lie. I talked to Brady Henderson. I mentioned Tyler Huntley. Brady thought I meant Brett Hundley, who was the former backup here, and literally was like, what? Who? What? Started laughing at me until I reminded him who I was talking about. And then Lance Zierlein, who covers the NFL in the draft for NFL Network, was like, who? What? Oh, that guy. Yeah, all right. Uh-huh. I'm a little surprised. I think he would be a perfect kind of flyer for the Seahawks to take. He played very well in a backup role a couple times last year, filling in Baltimore. And then, you know, like, what's the downside?
Well, I don't think
you don't have to give up that much.
I just don't think they're going to give him away. If you feel that way, and I feel
that
way.
Zierlein was like, fourth round pick, maybe.
Probably.
Hasselbeck feels that way. I'm sure Baltimore feels that way. He came in and, you know, to find.
But Lance Zierlein doesn't feel that way.
A young, cheap guy as an alternative to Lamar, who's got banged up. And yeah, I'm going to take him off because I don't think that's a realistic trade prospect.
He had a 48 QBR last year. Like, he wasn't great in his
No, he wasn't great, but he wasn't terrible. And
it's kind of the blueprint they went down last time. They need a quarterback. Sign Matt Flynn. He's played well in little flashes in Green Bay. Okay, we'll take a flyer on
if he was
him.
A free
and I'm not
agent.
Saying I'm committing to the guy as being the free, you know, as being your quarterback forever and ever, but I think he is one of two players that are worth looking at as easy, cheap, short-term solutions with the at least flyer potential of maybe being longer-term solutions, but probably not.
Yeah, there's the
he
mullet.
Would be one, and Minshew is the other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, Minshew is essentially modern Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's going to come in. He's going to be exciting. He might win you a few games. He might lose you a few more. And all the while, you're probably looking to upgrade. But isn't it fun and entertaining while he's here?
Yes.
So what would be the how much do you have to give up to get those guys? Not that much. I don't know. Those seem like worthwhile flyers to me.
Okay. And then the name that is surfacing this week is he wrote a letter, a goodbye letter, while he's still under contract. Is Baker Mayfield, former
number one overall
pick. Okay.
Howdy, do you want Baker Mayfield?
My guy, Baker Mayfield. I am way in on Baker Mayfield. Mike walked into my office the day after they traded Russell Wilson. Said,
true.
So, who do you think is going to be the next quarterback of the Seahawks? I said, Baker Mayfield. It's going to be Baker Mayfield. He has everything.
Is that your office
Seahawks
now,
wants.
By the way?
Yeah.
Is that your office?
Yeah,
Marsh's
office.
Old studio is
it's
now
the Howdy
your office?
Studio.
Yeah, that's my office.
Okay.
Yeah.
With,
right.
I wasn't with
sure
budget if you'd approval, like sort of I mean, duty. It's getting overhauled. Howdy's threatening to go in there and rip out carpet.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Good.
Anyways, no,
are
Baker
you getting
Mayfield?
A special low seat for, so everything
yes,
works
yes,
for Howdy?
Yes, I will. Baker Mayfield is exactly what they've been looking for. I mean, if there's going to be anybody that's going to be willing to play Pete Carroll's style of football and still have something left in the tank that could be uncovered, isn't it Baker Mayfield?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say, of this group, he is certainly the one who tilts the field the most, right? I mean, like, he's got the ability to make something out of nothing. I think that's what I like about Hundley and Minshew, too. Like, all three guys have the ability to make something out of nothing. And I know that used to be Mariota's game. It feels like it's just been so long since I've seen that, Brock, that it's harder for me to imagine him doing that. But maybe he should be on the list for the same reason. Pete needs somebody who can also make something out of nothing. And I think that's always been, you know, a part of, you know, hey, keep it close. We're going to do this. We're going to make sure we don't turn the ball over. But they're going to be a few plays a game that we need you to make, and I think that Baker can certainly make those plays.
Okay, two things have happened. Rich Gangarello, and I pronounced it right the first time, was born on my birthday, April 15th of 1972. Okay, so
exciting.
He's 4 years older than me. He'll be 50. It is Rich Gangarello. Thank you very much. Number two, Baker Mayfield is Russell Wilson light. Baker Mayfield, and I know, by the way, why Howdy feels that way and why he could do that, because size-wise, arm-wise, he's got a pretty darn good arm. He throws a pretty good deep ball. His movement, his play, he's not the wizard, so don't hear me wrong. But he is, he's maybe Russell Wilson heavy. Depends on where Russell is.
Depends on Russell is pretty big on the tarmac in Denver.
Russell Wilson, but there is some similarity there. So this would be his fifth-year option, making a lot of dough. You'd have to make a decision on him. is this the time? It, kind of similarly to our whole discussion last segment, right? About the Mariners.
What do I have to give up?
Is this the time to pay? Is this the time to overpay? Is this the time to give Baker Mayfield this opportunity?
First tell me what I have to spend in capital to get him.
Gosh, that's very difficult because we don't have the Deshaun numbers and the Deshaun trade. We don't have a Jimmy Garoppolo trade. We don't have any comps, which we're going to have.
I don't think he's worth that much. Brock, no. If I got to give up any sort of a high pick, I'm out, quite frankly. I like the idea of Baker, but I'm not giving up draft capital in order to get him. He just hasn't proven it. Has he been an all-star?
You're not giving up two twos? You're not giving up 40 and four and second round?
I'd be surprised if it was two twos. I mean, maybe a second and a third, maybe a second and a fourth. Maybe second this year and third next year. Like
you can start to intrigue me in that range. But if you're asking for much more than a second round pick, I don't think I'm in because I'm only getting guaranteed 1 year of him, and I'm going to bring him in and figure out whether or not he's got a chance to be the guy long term. But you know my stance on this, Brock. The only thing worse than not having a franchise quarterback is having the wrong one. Yep. And if I have to commit to Baker Mayfield, then I'm going down that road where I'm risking having the wrong one. And I think that's the more likely.
What did Carson Wentz get?
If I don't need to give up much to get him, all right, well, then I can have a real conversation about whether or not I'm willing to take a flyer and see if I can turn him back into the player he was supposed to be. I'd love to do that, but I am not willing to commit a tremendous
amount. Let's remember what he did, by the way. He went to Cleveland, which was the basement of basements. He went in there, Salk, and he was the guy that you loved as much as anybody.
I still do. I like the guy a lot.
You know why? Because he's like, believe, Land, I'm going to be the one to turn this around. I'm going to be the one to get to the playoffs. He gets to the playoffs. He beats the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everything is great. Everything is groovy. Man, he looks like in year number three, he turned the corner, and then it fell this year. Expectations rose. Torres labrum is non-throwing shoulder, got Odell Beckham's dad mad at him, got his wife involved in it. Yep. There's anything but neutral. They're just all over the place, right?
Dude, I'd love it. I think it would be a ton of fun. I'm just not willing to overspend in order to do it because I think that's not a recipe for what you need to build. You need to rebuild this thing, get your house in order, and then find the quarterback. And if Baker shows up along the way for a reasonable amount in a trade, I'd love it. I would absolutely welcome Baker Mayfield. If you're telling me you're starting to give up some of the bigger assets you've got and that you just got back from Russ, yeah, no thank you. I'd have rather paid Russ $45 million at that point. That's a commitment level that I just don't think I'd be willing to make. But I don't want to sound down on Baker Mayfield because I love the idea of trying to do it. I know Aaron Wilson was tweeting that there's a lot of sources saying that could be a really interesting and likely possibility that Baker himself would welcome a trade to Seattle. I would think he would be really, really enjoy playing for Pete Carroll, playing in Seattle. I think he would love all of that.
How does what the Seahawks have done since they traded Russell Wilson made any sense other than adding a serious quarterback right now? There's absolutely no way to make sense of what they're doing unless they add a real quarterback.
Meaning staff changes, meaning personnel moves, meaning you bring back signings. Jamal, you bring back Al, you bring back all of your own. You make a move today with Uchenna Nwosu and pay him some $20 million. And this is not a, hey, man, we're going to go cheap. We're going to stockpile all of our cap space. This is no. We're not rebuilding. We're not retooling. We're going to bring back all these guys that we do believe in. We're going to have everybody healthy. And now, to Howdy's point, you add Baker Mayfield. How much changes in your win-loss total? If you bring Baker Mayfield, and I don't know.
From seven? Or from where you'd like to be?
What is Vegas? I don't know if they've come out. They've got to wait probably till free agency and some of these pieces fall, maybe even the draft.
But hold on. But that's not the point. I'm not interested in winning nine games. I mean, the goal here is to be a Super Bowl contender, not to not go backwards from where you were a year ago.
Are you sure? Are you sure that you don't want to win 9 or 10 games and keep this momentum going and continue to add and continue to draft? And
I'm not saying I don't want. I'm not saying I have a problem, but I'm not looking at that as like, okay, as long as I make sure I short term win 9 or 10, that's fine, and I'm happy to do it, but you got to keep your eye on the number one prize, which is identify and acquire the franchise quarterback, the next franchise quarterback for your team.
And if that's eyes on the prize. And if they say Baker Mayfield, and if we had this conversation, by the way, at the end of last season, not 2 years ago, not 5 years ago, the end of last season, where he leads the Browns to the playoffs, where he beats Big Ben in the playoffs, where he has turned the corner 1 year ago from yeah. right now, if we had this conversation, I said to you, Salk, what do you want to do with little pouty Russell? 1 year ago, complaining to Dan Patrick, hey, Mike, would you swap right now Russell Wilson
I would not.
For Baker Mayfield? And you would have said, oh, I'll do so fast for my head spin.
No, I wouldn't have.
I'll make your head spin.
If we'd have told you last year you're gonna get 2 firsts, 2 seconds for Russell, and then you're gonna trade a second round pick for Baker Mayfield, what would you have said?
Yeah, I would do that. I just said I would do that. And I'd probably add a little bit more to it.
Yes.
If you're telling me I need to add those first rounders back in or anything at that level, I'm gonna tell you no way. Right? Or if I got to give up both the seconds or that kind of thing, I just think that's too much to give up for somebody that unfortunately has put himself in a spot where you can't trust him right now to be a sure bet. And I know there's no such thing as a sure bet. I really wouldn't have, Brock. I don't know why you're saying that.
I love when you do that. No, not in this case.
No,
just say it.
Absolutely not.
Please.
No, I'm not saying that. I don't work on command.
You
do? No, I don't work on command. I'm not a monkey dancing for your. No, I don't dance on command.
You had your dad's 5 favorite slogans. I'm asking you one of my favorite.
Absolutely not. No.
Salk is saying,
I'm not a little wind up toy monkey where you wind me up and then tell me what to do and I start. No, I don't do that. Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, thank you. No way. Absolutely not. You know, Cecily does this all the time. She's always asking me, oh, do this bit, do this. No, I don't work on command.
Do this bit.
Yeah. Well, she's got this this stuffed animal whale shark, and I like to make it kind of swim up to her. And then she'll be like, oh, do the thing with the whale shark. I'm like, no, I don't work on command. I'll do it on my terms when I want to do it. I don't take requests. Absolutely not.
I don't take requests.
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88.
Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Huard breaks down 3 football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
All right, Brock, a little Blue 88, Seahawks free agent edition for you to finish up this this podcast. Let's start here. Seahawks make a bit of a splash and spend some money on a guy from the outside, Uchenna Nwosu, who comes over from the Chargers organization. Why him, and what do you make of it?
Yeah, I think this is a system fit. I think it's a little bit like Shelby Harris, to be honest with you as well, and why they wanted him in the move. Somebody familiar with this defensive scheme, right? For Shelby coming from the Broncos, from the Vic Fangio tree, this is a sprinkling. You know, with the new people that you have, with Clint Hurt that has that background, and now he's going to implement it, and obviously with Sean Desai's influence as well, to bring in these guys with the scheme. And Nwosu comes out of experience last year with obviously Coach Staley, before that Gus Bradley. If you're talking about a guy, whatever language they want to use, whether that's Pete Carroll's background or whether that is this new Vic Fangio, Brandon Staley, you've got a guy very comfortable. I like Nwosu out of college. I had him multiple times at USC. Physical dude. Just a guy that is on the edge. A little bit, honestly, skill set wise, like Bruce Irvin. He's going to rush the passer, but it's not his number one. I don't think he'll ever be a double digits. But he's very capable like Bruce was, because he's explosive, because he's powerful, because he's violent. I think a theme you're going to hear in this offseason with additions, with the draft, is, man, we got to be violent. We got to get back to hitting people, right? Part of the reason Bobby Wagner and $18 million is out is what we've talked about, Mike. There's not enough impact, right? If you're going to make impact plays, you're going to take the ball away. You either got to have great ball skills, or you got to play at a speed and a violence level where you create that chaos. Nwosu is one of those guys that has that skill set. And as I said, kind of a Bruce Irvin clone and a pretty good move, and almost, I mean, you almost got to call it a wave one, maybe a wave 1.5 kind of move to spend this early in free agency.
All right, question number 2. In addition to the guys they brought in, you know, from the outside, Brock, the first thing they did, as they always do, is they re-sign a group of their own that they really liked. Of the guys they re-signed, which was your favorite?
My favorite is because of value. It's Quandre Diggs. You did not have to reset the market. You didn't even have to pay him top 5 money. That you got him over the long term at roughly, what, $13 million. And I've seen, and those numbers are always fudged and moved around a little bit until we get all the details. But it's, you know, top 10 money. It's not top 3 money. It's not top 5 money. And he was your most disruptive player last year. He fits in that mode alongside Jamal of coming down and willing to hit you. And on top of it, he's got to be the guy, Mike, that sets the tone on the back end. They're going to be doing new things. There's going to be new disguise. There's going to be new coverage. There's going to be new calls. There's going to be new scheme. And he's the guy you really had to have. And the fact that he got to feel the market. I don't think he's bitter. He's very vocal. He was out in social media. He was all of those things. He got to feel the market, and the market said, you're a top 10 safety. And the Seahawks were able to pay him as a top 10 safety, not a top 3 safety.
You're okay with two top 10 safeties?
I'm not necessarily okay
with number 1 and number 8.
I'm not in love with that, but those two in this scheme are going to be asked to do an awful lot. This is not just a, hey man, you're single high safety. Oh, you're just a cover two safety. These two within the scheme are going to be asked to do a ton. Put Jamal Adams is a safety in your mind there, Mike, where you look at him. And you've always done this. And you've always said safeties are more valuable.
I do.
He is a pass rusher. He is a linebacker. He is a safety. And I think for Quandre, as I said, man, he is the machinery. He is the engine of the computer that's got to drive it. And I did not mind the value that I think they got in that deal with him.
By the way, I love the Al Woods re-signing. Like, I just think that guy has been a really good, steady player for you. And you just got to have guys like him.
And this year, he actually made an impact.
Deal. I thought he did. Yeah.
50-some tackles and in the backfield. And
he and Quandre were probably their two best defensive players this year.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right, question number three. They do still have plenty of remaining cap space, Brock. What would you like to see them do with it?
I'd like to see another offensive lineman. Another good, solid.
Another? They haven't even signed one off. Right. They don't even have their left tackle.
Brandon Schell, Ethan Posick, or others. I'd like to see them invest in that. And certainly Dwayne Brown has got to be a name that
we
see
here. Start. What about Dwayne Brown?
Well, Dwayne Brown, Rashad Penny, those are a couple of the other ones. And we talked about that this week. I don't think these were hard sells to Al Woods, to Quandre Diggs, to bring back the guys that they knew they could get a deal done with. Now you're flirting with the market. Now the market's flirting with Rashad Penny. Saw another running back out there. Connor's got, 2 years, $16 million or so. Would I like that deal with Rashad Penny? That feel about right, $6, $7, $8 million. That does. Dwayne Brown, unfortunately for Dwayne, this is a good left tackle draft. There are cornerstones in the top 10, at least four of them that are going to go. So hopefully that softens his market. So that's the next headline that I would like to see. I'd like to see a lineman, and in particular, your left tackle.
I'd be curious to see whether or not they're planning to go offensive tackle with that first pick, the number 9 pick. If they're just looking to get a guy that, they can kind of build around forever. I was asking Lance Zierlein about that today, and he had a couple of names. Kid from Northern Iowa was one, and the other guy is, Cross, I think is his name?
Mississippi State, yeah.
What do you think of those two?
I think one is enormous, like Nate Solder. The kid out of Northern Iowa is like Nate, 6'8", 325. Looks like he weighs 225, the longtime tackle for the Patriots, and that could be in play. And Cross is a little undersized. It's weird to say that at 305 pounds.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said he needed to gain about 15 pounds.
And I don't know.
I told him to come down here to Phoenix with me. He called a couple of times. I mean, we could get to 315. No problem. I may get there by the time I go home on Saturday.
Are we getting ahead of ourselves with who they're going to pick at 9? Should we start with, are they going to pick at 9?
There's no way they're going to pick at 9.
I think they'll pick at 9.
There's no way they're going
to
pick at 9. 9
to 15 to 27, yes. And they're like, look at all these third-round picks.
I hope not. That
I would be very disappointed if that happened
agreed.
This year.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think they're going to pick in the top 10. I think they're kind of back into the same spot they were when they had, when they got Thomas and Okung, because they're kind of looking at it now where the argument against picking where they've had their picks was always, well, the players that were there, we didn't have first-round grades.
Not much difference between 25 and 55.
Right. But there's a huge difference between 9 and 25.
Yes.
So I would be surprised. I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen. You could be right. But that would surprise me. All right, that's Blue 88. Good fun show today, buddy. This was good. I'm sorry I missed you in person.
Yeah, the one week.
No, you're not.
I'm here.
All right, you're not sorry at all.
No.
Well, I thought I'd get a good Brock hug. I don't need the when he sneaks up behind me and takes his hands and puts them on my neck. I don't
your
need that.
Solar plexus.
Yeah, but I like a good Brock hug. I miss seeing Brock every day, for
been
sure.
Been fun getting a lot of those. Gotten to see a lot of people. And we'll do it at some point. But yeah, you're not really missing me that much. If there was a true question, trade-off.
Brock or a Butterburger? Brock
did I tell? Well, Butterburger is much better. Did I tell you about the text Brock sent me over the weekend?
Uh-oh.
So Brock was nice enough. He was, he was kind of near my house in the Green Lake area, and we're doing this renovation. So Brock said, "Oh, I'll go stop by. You're not there, but I'll go stop by and take a look." And we're working on this porch, and Brock sends me this text. That's like, "Wow, that porch looks great. Is that going to be kind of a little outdoor loving area?"
What?
Yeah. Well,
legitimately, that's what Brock sent me.
Yes.
So I wrote him back, and I was like, "Well, hey, thanks, man. I don't know. You know, we still have kids and it's outside. Or did you mean living?
Tough to say.
And he's like, oh, I meant living.
Someone whose phone types loving more than living, and that's Brock's MO.
I'm a lover, not a liver.
Okay, well, there you go. So, yes, thank you, Brock. I appreciate the text, and it was, I'm sorry I missed you in person. We'll do this again next week. Until then, the hay.
He's in the barn.
See everybody.
Get to the chopper!